Hey guys, this podcast is being brought to you today with the help of Blue Mic microphones and Skullcandy headphones. So check them out at bluemic.com and skullcandy.com. So this week, Nick and I invited a guest to sit in. So I called up my old roommate and he agreed to come down. And he's a well-known musician, at least in Canada, and I'm sure in circles all over the world, certain circles, especially the indie rock circle. Not a lot of people know this, but we roomed together back in the day for quite a few years, 4 years. And when we did room together, both of us were trying to get our respective bands off the ground. And through the years, behind the scenes, whether people know it or not, we've both been very supportive of each other, despite how our respective genres stand polar opposite of one another. Much like how we are as people when we room together. We were kind of the odd couple. He's more like Oscar, and I'm more like Felix, if you are familiar with that show, The Odd Couple. And since then, we really only see each other occasionally on the road when our bands happen to cross paths or during the holidays. So it was really nice to catch up with him. A lot of what we ended up discussing on the mic got edited out, mainly because it was more inside stuff. We don't really get to see each other, so we were talking about people or things that would be boring to anyone who isn't familiar with these people we were talking about. So I think what ended up in the podcast is pretty much the bulk of our discussion, our meeting. So I hope you enjoy it. Here it is. The official Danko Jones podcast starts now. Welcome to another episode of the official Danko Jones podcast. With me, as always from now on, is Mr. Nick Flanagan.
Hi.
How you doing, Nick?
Oh, I'm great.
I think this week, as we hinted in our last episode last week, that we were going to have a special guest.
Yeah.
Our special guest has arrived. I just tweeted about you arriving here, and you are here, special guest.
I should have tweeted myself as well. I haven't. When I leave, I'll tweet.
How often do you tweet it?
Well, I just got the latest iPhone, not the iPhone 4S, but just the iPhone 4. Because the Twitter option was gone off my last phone.
Really? They took it off?
No, I don't know what happened. It's just, you know, the phones, they're only...
You got one of those Chinese iPods?
The Chinese iPod. Oh, great.
It's going to explode.
Let's start controversially.
Yeah. Well, here we are. Welcome to our podcast, Mr. Brendan Canning is here. Brendan Canning, how are you?
Really happy to be here.
I'm very excited that you came down.
I'm happy to be on the Danko Jones official podcast.
Now, not a lot of people...
With Nick Flanagan.
With Nick, of course, as always, from now on. But not a lot of people know this. Maybe they do if they've bought the Broken Social Scene book, This Book is Broken.
By Stuart Berman.
Stuart Berman, who's also working on our book as we speak.
Available at bookstores.
Amazon.com.
Yeah.
We used to live together. We lived together for 4 years. We lived together while Broken Social Scene was formulating.
Yeah, essentially.
And one of the reasons when we talked on the phone, I wanted to get you in here and just shoot the shit about the good old days.
Yeah.
And it was quite an interesting match, you and I living together. I think to a lot of people who heard about it, I think what ran through their head was, that's never going to work for more than 6 months, if even that.
And look what we did. Proved them wrong.
4 fucking years.
4 years is like, how many months is that? 24?
48 months. Throw in Dirty G, a.k.a. George Vail.
Does he go by that tag?
Dirty G, I don't know.
George Vail, he was the third roommate who lived with us. And George, well, he did both our band's videos. He's a music director.
He is.
He's shot music videos in our house.
Yes, he has.
He shot it when we were there or when we were on tour.
Did you do any tea party videos at your house?
No, he did a Fifi Dobson video.
I thought it was Faye.
Faye.
Fifi Dobson, who is, how would you categorize her? A pop singer?
I guess a pop singer.
She was a pop singer, and then she became, she's a trying diva? To do more of a singer-songwriter thing now, I think.
Oh, really?
Because she was writing songs, and then I don't think that the Bye Bye Boyfriend thing gave her.
She was an unknown just singer making a video, and it was George, so it was all cool that, you know, we were letting our roommate shoot this video, and then I saw the video and on television, and I said, that's our bathroom.
Yeah.
And then she became somewhat of a known celebrity in Canada or the world.
She got a push.
She got a push.
But I don't know if anyone really.
Does anybody in London or Belgium or Frankfurt know who she is?
Is she more or less famous than Willa Ford?
Well, I don't know who that is either.
You guys should look her up. She's been topless before. High fives.
Willa Ford.
She was there. That was during the scramble, the great scramble of 2003.
Dude, I don't know 2000? Who the fuck you're talking about.
The great girl singer scramble.
And I don't even know what the fucking scramble
is. What is the great scramble?
What are you talking about?
Britney Spears had sort of.
Don't you know about the
had,
great.
Had achieved her popularity. Her, you know, she was in place. Christina Aguilera was in place. They needed more.
What about Robin?
Robin was sort of still. She was resting and getting into the second Robin career.
What about that Annie?
That's different too. That's I'm talking about.
Annie is Scandinavian.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Scandinavian people. I'm talking.
I know Robin is. That's about it.
American.
Or Licky Lee now.
North Americans. Oh, I like Licky Lee. They were trying to find which teenage girl singer would be the one that would be the next Britney Spears. The answer was like none of them.
And what did they call that? Search the Great.
The Scramble. The Great Scramble.
That's off my radar, man. If my mom knows who it is, then I'll know who it is.
There was a girl named Katie. God, I can't remember her last name, and that's a problem sometimes it hits. She was the daughter of someone who was in Poco, and she wound up.
We're talking about shit that I just don't know anything about.
Dude, you know Poco,
where have you taken us?
I don't know Poco.
You know Poco.
Yeah, the band Poco.
The band Poco.
Yeah, but you've taken us down a road that we can't get out of.
Yeah.
Can we switch gears here?
Okay. Chicks.
Can we just talk about...
We went from Fifi Dobson to the Great Scramble.
We were talking about how, you know, we got...
We were roommates.
Yeah, we should have focused on Fifi Dobson for a little
while. Yeah, yeah.
But I was... I mean, when you would go away for a week, you'd be away, and I'd have the house to myself.
Yeah.
I'd always wonder, when I'd finally see you, where the hell were you the whole week? Not that I'm complaining to have the whole house to yourself.
But this is before I was on tour?
This is before Broken Social Scene even existed, and you would always say, well, I'm over at Kevin's house. Kevin being Kevin Drew.
Oh, right.
This is going way back.
Yeah, yeah, to 99.
And I would think, like, well, okay, well, I'm glad you're doing this little project, you know, but, you know, you were DJing and you had your other music outfits and stuff. And then, you know, I moved out because Danko Jones, our band, the band was just touring like crazy.
Well, and actually, if we could note before Dirty G, George Vail, Richard Switzer.
The Switz,
who ran Sound King Records.
Dick Switz.
The original label for the Danko Jones.
Right.
Who actually brought you into the fold on our little street there.
Mm-hmm.
He was also the guy who bankrolled my band recording. At one point, my band T-Chord Combo recording.
When I moved in, you were living at the house with Richard Switzer, who I actually mentioned in My Love is Bold, our song.
Right? What's the lyric?
I can't. I'm so bad at quoting myself. But something Dick Switzer. It's a song called My Love is Bold. So Richard brought me in, and I'd known you from the various bands you had been in around the scene in Toronto and really in Canada. So I knew who you were. And we moved in together. We found out we got along.
Mm-hmm.
Richard moved out because he got married.
He did.
We brought in Mr. Music Director George Vail. He roomed with us, did some music videos for Fifi Dobson and stuff.
A few other things.
Yeah. And then I moved out because I was touring so much. And I'd come by, drop by the house every now and then, visit you guys. And the one, I remember, this is the turning point for me, is when I came by at the house to visit you two guys, and you were on the cover of I Magazine, and I didn't even know, and you guys showed it to me, and Broken Social Scene was on the cover of I Magazine, and I remember just going, is this the project you've been working on with Kevin all those weeks? You'd be away and stuff, and suddenly it just blossomed, and every time I'd come back from tour, you guys were on to the CBC, then you were on all over the radio, you were all over the media, then you were all over the American media. Then I remember I was in, by this time I knew you guys were a known band name, and I was in, I think I was somewhere in Europe, I was in the hotel, I turned it on, there was an old episode of David Letterman, and there you guys were, and I was laughing my head off. I couldn't believe you guys were on Letterman. You guys made it onto Letterman. And most of the time when I see bands that are close to me but not close to me, I always respond with a, fuck, this is fucking crazy. But I remember thinking when I saw you...
That's your patented response. Like, that's...
I usually mutter under my breath, this fucking bullshit. But I remember when I saw you especially, I was very proud that you were on Letterman. I was filled with a lot of pride that I wanted to tell everybody in our touring party.
Yeah,
that you were. Well, you were on Letterman.
You heard the early mixes, all the, you know, the one. I remember one song was Pacific Theme. And
okay.
I played that, and I think we both agreed that the drums aren't right in that song. And then we went back in, well, not me personally, but those drums were really chopped up to make them fit.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember a few nights when this is before the first album, not You Forgot It, but the first one, when it was just you and Kevin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I came home and I was working at the porn shop.
Mm-hmm.
I'd come home from the porn shop and I had the night shift. And I'd always come home a little tired and a little aggro, and you guys were working on song titles.
Yeah, well, you had some good ones back then.
I was in a mood that night. I think that is the night that I remember.
Yeah, cue the fags.
Everything had the word fag in it because I was just in a mood. I wasn't being homophobic or anything.
No.
I was just trying to, because I figured, well, you guys are doing this indie rock thing. It's the farthest thing that you could use to describe.
So did you ever wind up using any of those titles with the?
No, we never. We had a couple of.
I'm still your fag.
Yeah, I'm still your. Yeah,
that's
we did.
A good name.
Yeah,
yeah.
It wasn't Cue the Fags. It was wasn't. Capture the Flag.
Mm-hmm.
Rhymes with.
Was that capture from me fag. Saying capture the fag? What, that cue one
the,
night?
No, I think Capture the Flag's a game.
Yeah, it is, but
I don't know what kind of game it is actually.
It's one of those mystery games where you have to. Go to an embassy?
Yeah, go to the Brazilian embassy.
Take a flag.
Which is what you did today.
Which is what I did today. Well, I got a phone call at 10:30 saying, hey, your passport's back at the office. You got to take it to the Brazilian consulate because we're leaving in less than 10 days.
Damn.
And then you get to the Brazilian consulate, and they say, oh, I don't know if we can get it done in time. And you say, well, you have to get it done. Then you see your monitor tech there with his wife and kid, and his passport's expiring in less than 3 months, so now he was on his way to get a rush passport, and then he has to come back to the Brazilian consulate. I don't even know if he'll be able to go.
Do you know the Brazilian embassy? There's no hair on the carpet at all. They make sure.
I don't think there was any carpet at the office. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's hardwood floor, right? Yeah. You got hardwood.
Hardwood.
The Brazilian yes. gave you hardwood.
The logistics of getting a band like Broken Social Scene together, where it's sometimes a revolving door of members, and you guys are traveling the world and traveling all together. Has there been some crazy, crazy stories where just everybody was frazzled and going in 10 different directions all at once on the road?
I mean, getting to and from gigs can often be, you know, 10 different flights. Like, let's say, you know, we played a private party in Tofino. So, you know, the next day, two people are flying out at 8:30, but then the next people are flying out the next day at such and such a date and going to Montreal, but someone's going to Winnipeg, or, you know, just the travel logistics.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Like, okay, well, how many people are flying home after Vancouver? Okay, you, you're going to where? You're going to Calgary. You're going to Montreal. We're going to stay in Vancouver. You guys got to fly from Montreal to Chicago. We're flying Vancouver to Chicago. Charles doesn't come to that gig. Our tour manager is a bass player. He learns Charles' bass parts and plays his gig.
Puts on a mustache.
Puts on a mustache. We play in front of a Heineken billboard. Fada bing.
And that's why you put out a solo album in 2008?
Yeah, 2008, that's right. Something for All of Us. I actually have a full album that's currently being looked at by a label.
Nice.
That's not Arts and Crafts.
That's a side project you've got. You've had for years before Ages. Broken Social.
Yeah, yeah. And then it finally sort of, with an old Danko drummer.
Yes.
Damon Richardson. Damon. He who shall be named.
Sure.
Good drummer.
Yeah, he's on Cookie Duster. Yeah. He's drumming on Cookie Duster. Yeah. And I did a track for that long ago.
That
will not make this
that
label.
What do you mean you did a track?
I sang a cut that they put together for
two cuts.
Did it have one of those titles like you were suggesting?
This is the cut. Is that the song title?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you guys do a lot of collaboration when you were living together?
Funnily enough, no.
No.
Here we are, two musicians living together, both of us doing a lot of different things, very active, and yet no collaboration. There were a lot of people collaborating in our house with Brendan.
Mm-hmm. Although I did, I came on one Danko tour when I was cash-strapped.
This is true.
Cash-strapped, jobless. And Sound King Records boss, Richard Switzer, suggested maybe I could drive the van.
Right.
Driver, tour manage, and guitar tech.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
so
driving.
So that's sort of a collaboration.
Was it a collaboration?
Did they collaborate with you?
It's a collaboration. But then Sloan's guitar tech eventually sort of just moved in. And
did he?
After a while, you know, he saw me like, you know, fiddling around, and I was not born to be a guitar tech. Yeah. I mean, it worked out okay.
Through the tour.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good tour. Sloan tour. Support slot.
Yeah, yeah.
With Sloan.
That was great. Yeah. I remember this one time on the tour, we were, the show was over, and I was at the merch table, you know, whatever, saying hi to people, and you were there.
Yeah.
And these two people came up to me, and they said, "Can we take a photo?" And my, you know, obvious reaction was, yeah, sure, sure. They hand me the camera, and they want to take a picture with Brendan. Now, this is years before Broken Social Scene.
Right.
But because Brendan was before Broken, not a lot of people know, was in a band called Head.
Oh, I know.
That achieved national prominence.
Yes.
And they were Head fans.
Right. And I was a Head fan.
Mainly regional prominence, I would say.
But there was a Much Music airplay involved.
There was some Much Music airplay. So that's
national,
true. National. Yeah, let's
go push
national.
The boundaries there.
I was into Head. Head were at the first concert I saw, the first real concert I went to.
At the Palladium or
somewhere? Yes, at the Palladium called Palladium. The Grunge Before Christmas. Was it the Grunge? I think it was the Grunge Before.
No, it was the Grunge that stole Christmas.
And just that word alone is people can figure out when what year we're talking
about. Right. And if you thought
early
it was
90s.
2007, you're wrong.
Yeah,
it was actually 1993 or something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was all local groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I wound up working in warehouses with the members of a lot of those bands that opened then. I don't know if you were on that show.
No, I wasn't. But there's a lot of people that would come into our house, and the way I am just as a person, I'm very private. I like to keep to myself, but at the same time I recognize that, and I, for that reason as well, I wanted to live with Brendan, and I enjoyed the fact that I lived with him because I need to be more social. Even when we're on tour, I'm in the dressing room. I'm in the club for the whole day. I don't go out. I'm a very insular, inside kind of guy. And the fact that Brendan's band is called Broken Social Scene makes sense to me when I heard it, because there is a lot of people who would come into the house, a lot of people calling the house. It would get me upset at times, depending on who it was or what time they were dropping by or calling. But even doing this podcast, having people come into my inner sanctum and forcing the podcast to be here as opposed to in a studio, is my way of trying to be more social. Like last night, No Means No played. I was all set on going.
Oh, where'd they play?
And then I pivoted around again and turned. They played at the Garrison.
Oh, No Means No was one of the best concerts I saw.
Mm-hmm. I would have liked to see that.
I know. It was just, there's things, personal things I couldn't
do. God, I saw them more than 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I saw them about
Rivoli
8 years ago, and they were amazing.
That's a classic show that I never went to.
The X.
Yeah. Exactly.
And Flag Camp.
I've heard so much about that show.
Flag Camp had a man behind the skins that night who did a little stint in Danko Jones, oddly enough.
Yes. Yeah, you're bringing up all our old drummers.
Yeah.
Who now produces records for
groups like Metric.
Metric and 3 Days Grace.
Yeah, Billy Talent.
Gavin Brown. Gavin Brown had a lot of success.
He played that show that night.
And from there, great.
Oh, yeah.
No Means No.
The No Means No, X. The X, and Flight Camp.
So doing this podcast is forcing me to be more social.
Yeah, you're hosting right now.
I'm hosting.
You got me a soda water here, nice Perrier.
Not very good. I'm not very good.
You left me alone in your apartment for several minutes.
Yeah, I don't usually do that. I'm forcing myself to be more.
You got lots of stuff to play with here.
There was all kinds of moments that happened when we were living together that now I guess we can laugh at, because it was kind of funny that people were. You know, I remember this one time, and I relayed it before you came over here. There's a call that came in at 6 a.m. while we were living together, and I picked up the phone, and all I heard on the other line was quack, 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 like this squeaking noise. Mm-hmm. And this is in the early days of people having cell phones. Now everyone has one. And I realized after it kept calling the house that it was someone's phone in their pocket was going off, and they hadn't locked their phone. So I waited for about 15 minutes. Now, by this time, I'm up. Like, I'm totally up. Like, I'm very up.
So I called you hung on to the call for 15 minutes.
I waited till it was definitely off.
Uh-huh.
I star 69 the number, got the number, called the person up. Uh-huh. And he answered, and he said, hello? And I go, yeah, what do you want? And he goes, what do I want? You called me. And I go, no, I didn't. You've been calling me for half an hour. And I just screamed at the top of my lungs. I just chewed this guy out at I guess it was 7 a.m. by now.
Yeah.
And it was Jamie, your friend Jamie.
Jamie Dagg?
I guess, I don't know his last name, but it was, he's in film and television.
Yeah. Jamie Dagg.
An actor?
No, behind the scenes guy.
Behind the scenes.
And to Director. This day, whenever I see that guy in any sort of, not that I see him everywhere, but whenever I see that guy, he doesn't give me the time of day. And I know why. It was because I called him and I chewed him out long ago about calling the house. And that would happen. Not all the time, but just because.
What, pocket calls would happen all the time?
No, people calling at like 2 a.m.
Those happen all the time.
Hey, where's Brendan? There's a party. And I'm not Mr. Party.
Yeah. Right.
So I've been sleeping for 3 hours already. It's 2 a.m. I go to bed at 11. And I would be the biggest fucking asshole. And after a while, people would call up and be like, another phone call.
Oh, there was a good one, if I can just interject here. Where I was writing a bit of music for some commercials, and the guy I was writing for, he called at about 8 or 8:30 in the morning looking for me, and you would just answer the phone like, "Hello, who's this?"
Oh, such an asshole.
And it was this guy who I was working for.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And then we never got a job again after that.
Oh.
Really?
Oh, boy. But then cut to a few years later. But it turned out it wasn't. It was just a coincidence.
Oh, my God.
Because they had bought a music library. And plus, Broken Social Scene was taken off at that point.
No, so. But you still need that extra money, man.
Thank
always.
God.
But then a few years later, I said, hey, we're still, you know.
You never know.
Sure, I'll knock off a Broken Social Scene song for you.
I don't live with
Barbie
that fucking
commercial.
Dick anymore. Yeah. So it's all cool. Yeah. You're
everything's cool, Chris. He's not going to be answering the phone. No, don't worry about it. Hey, I'll tell him.
I was such a dick, man. Like, and it was, it was a bunch of things. First of all, I'm not used to being around people I don't know. Like, I'm not comfortable with, and everyone was coming in the house. And
well, we had a good run, though. We had 4 years. That's
4 years, man.
I just
that's
like the
longer
fact that
than.
You, sorry, but you would get mad if people called after 11, but you'd also get mad if people called at like 8 in the morning. So there was not early or late, were was both.
I like
for you.
Look, I'm a morning guy, mm-hmm. and I'm the mornings. It worked out with us because Brendan is a night guy and he would DJ and he would have to work at night. And yeah. I'm a morning guy. I love the fact that at the house, I had mornings to myself. I would turn on Stern in the kitchen. I would make myself breakfast. I would hang out by myself. And this is how I am. And I would listen to music by myself. And then in the evenings, he would have the house to himself.
You could have your dinners.
Sure.
You know, or whatever the hell was going on. I don't know what happened. As is always the case when we're on tour as well. They would tell me the tour stories the next morning that would happen maybe 2 meters from my bunk.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm a good sound sleeper that way.
You had a bunk?
On the bus.
On the bus.
Oh, I'm
like
sorry.
We're going to a house for a second.
No, but this
we're going
this,
on tour now.
Yeah, this rolls into the band and being around people.
Yeah.
And with Brendan, there's a few times where, I kind of got ahead of myself and chewed people out that and overstepped my boundaries when it came to other people that I didn't know that were kind of encroaching on my personal space.
George's girlfriend Renee was trying to get into my room once and opening the door, and I had to say, "Honey, no, bathroom's down the hall."
I later
fooled around with her.
Wow!
Are you admitting this on the podcast? Should I edit this out?
No, that's okay.
I
don't think I ever told George.
Well, you're going to leave this in? You're going to let me leave this in?
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
dude, that was like in 2002.
That's only 9
okay,
years. That's only 9
years.
You could still be arrested if something
happened. Can we just, can we talk about this a little bit more? Because sure. Renee was the girl who was the
Hasidic?
She was the tongue, right?
For the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was her lips.
Yeah, she was the lips.
Because George was doing some work with Rolling Stones, I don't know, creating, like
can we talk about this?
Yeah, I think so.
So if you ever saw the Rolling Stones during the 40 Licks tour, there would be a screen that pops up before the band goes on stage, and then there's a pair of lips, just like the signature logo, the Rolling Stones logo.
Yeah.
And there'd be a shot of milk at the screen, and then the lips lick the milk or whatever.
Yeah.
Our roommate George shot that for the Stones.
Yeah.
And the pair of lips was this girl, Renee, that Brendan is talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I didn't fool around with her. I think I can say it. She's quite a looker.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, I didn't
know
this.
You
know
what?
Revelation.
Right after the night of the Forgotten in People album release at the Lula Lounge Club.
Oh, so you were in your grand.
Prime.
The band was just starting out.
God, you had the buzz going. You had the whole.
Yeah.
Anything was possible.
Everything. You could.
And George was shooting all the backstage
stuff.
So
you were laughing
at him.
He
was your bitch that night. You were telling her to shoot.
Yeah. And then this lady.
She saw you in all your glory.
This is what she goes. She says, "Hey, what's up? I'm really excited about this." I actually don't think I can improvise.
What, she had a cold?
That's the only way you could have bagged her if she had a cold or something. I don't think you could have.
She had a really sore throat.
Hey,
she
needed a cough well drop today. I really need to relax.
She needed a Halls?
I heard about this new method of carrying the common cold.
That's great. I didn't know that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was a lot of people who were coming in the house, and there's a lot of traffic coming in and out. I'm not used to that. And you really kind of, living with you really pulled me into this social circle that I wouldn't have been in if I hadn't moved in with you guys. I mean, I was a friend of Richard's who brought me into the house because it was a one-on-one thing. I'm usually friends with people one-on-one. I'm not a group guy that we all hang out at the mall and then we all know each other from there. And so the broken social scene group is a dynamic that is alien to me. And I could never be in something like that. That is why our band has three people, you know, minimum amount of people as possible.
So you couldn't do Wu-Tang Clan?
No, exactly. Which is, I think I said that. And a lot of people don't realize this also is I poke fun at broken social scene in the media, but I always do it. And whenever I see Brennan, we always have a laugh. Although I don't think a lot of people realize that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who, especially in Canada, I find who polarize our two genres. Like mm-hmm. rock stays on this side and this indie rock thing stays on the other side. But when we were living together, you're like, you're a big Slayer fan, you're a big metalhead, old school metalhead. Did I get you a Saxon shirt from the tour?
No, you didn't. I really would have wanted one.
But that's...
I saw Saxon in 86 at the concert hall.
See, a lot of people don't realize that that's also a meeting ground between me and Brendan. At the same time, I'm a big CN Cake fan. We both love Dinosaur Jr.
Yeah.
Slint fan. I can meet you on there. So a lot of people in this country, I find, they really polarize our band from all these kind of indie rock bands that I think Broken Social Scene really broke the wall down for.
I remember I saw Justin Peroff,
the drummer of Broken Social Scene.
Yes.
At a bar in Toronto, and our drummer had just quit, and I was with our guitarist, and I said, "Justin, you wanna drum in Brutal Nights?" And he said, "Well, what's the BPM?" And then
What's
the BPM?
Did he really say that?
Yeah, and then my guitarist was like, "You can't do it in our band."
Did he really say that?
Had him. Yeah, he did.
What kind of question is that?
What's the BPM?
Yeah, like, what, you only have one song?
What's on your rider?
We do only have one song.
Yeah. What's on your... That would be my question.
Okay, here's what's on
our
rider.
What are you guys traveling?
Exactly.
What kind of hotels do you like to stay in?
We're such douches.
Vegan rider. Those are my questions, hotels. Too. We're sleeping on floors.
Vegan rider?
Vegan rider. All vegan rider.
See ya.
You ever heard that song, Vegan Rider?
But the amount of people that roll through Broken Social Scene is quite impressive. But what remains is always... Kevin and Brendan from day one. That is really, I think, Broken Social Scene. Am I right? The core of it?
Well, Justin
Peroff. Yeah. Yeah, he's... But you guys did that first CD.
First, I guess if you're
going
to count...
I'm going all the way
feel,
back.
Yeah, Feel Good Loss. So yeah, Kevin and I are at the...
I remember when you gave me a copy of You Forgot It in People, and I took it on tour with me.
Uh-huh.
And this is back in the day when I had to take a Discman with me and a whole... CD booklet. Remember those days?
Yeah.
So I was listening to it and I was playing it for people and I was getting a great response. And I swear to God, I thought you guys were on a really good... I think I even emailed you. This is a great thing. I mean, this is... I think you're really onto something here. This is a really good thing. And I had no idea when I got back. It made sense to me, but the arc as to how it took off, especially in this country, was incredible. Everybody got on board. There's always been indie rock bands in Canada and in America, but we've never had, I think, a band that we could champion in indie rock where people would be proud of to have as the poster kids to the world. This is something that we will show the world. Not all these other bands that, you know, we've been kind of supporting all this time, but Broken Social Scene was the first band I noticed that really Canada got behind, and this is us. And it was a different kind of band. There was a revolving door. There was all kinds of instruments. There's all kinds of people. You didn't know who you're going to get every night. It was an interesting way to be a band.
It represented also, you know, 10 or plus years of bands in Canada.
That's true, too. Doing
stuff, like members of people who were all in very good standing and were accomplished musicians by the time the band started, right?
Yeah, I guess.
We were. I don't know, me and Kevin talked about it a lot at the house, but I was supposed to do a collaboration with you guys once, long ago, we were supposed to do Half on a Baby.
Right. Half on a Baby.
Do R. Kelly
the
cover?
R. Kelly jam.
I was gonna sing that song. You guys were gonna cover the R. Kelly song Half on a Baby, and I was gonna be the R. Kelly.
Is that a duet with a male and female?
No, I don't think so. It's just, it would have been though if me and Kevin sang it together.
Yeah, it would have been.
Why? Which one's the female?
No, we'll just take a verse.
I see. Yeah. But which one's the female?
Let's go crowd in first.
Half on a Baby.
Yeah.
Next to you could do I Believe I Can Fly.
Half on a Baby.
It's a great song.
Yeah, it's a good tune. Yeah.
Did you ever get your mind blown by raving?
By raving.
All right, so it's been left up to me to
pick up the pieces.
That kind of.
Let's just wrap this up here.
You can throw raving under the bus now.
So it's nice to know that Brendan is in a band and I am in a band. Oh, this is how we're going to end it right here. You got things and places, things to do, places to be. And
always.
Nick, you're.
I gotta do some stuff too.
Oh, you do gotta do some stuff. Okay.
I'm driving him there.
He's gonna drive.
Oh, you guys hooked that stuff up?
Yeah. Not all the way there.
I got all kinds of jobs. I'm not a nobody.
Yeah, you did. Okay. So let's wrap this up because we've been trying to figure out how to wrap it up.
Off mic.
Well, first of all, thanks a lot, Brendan, for coming down and doing this podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Walking down memory lane. A few people were thrown under the bus in the process, and I'm glad that they were because it just adds more drama to the whole podcast.
Yeah, there's nothing better than a bus accident.
We've kind of been putting off the whole metal talk every time metal gets brought up in this podcast for another episode, and I'd like to formally invite you to come down to the metal roundtable we've got planned and talk metal with us.
Love a metal roundtable.
Yeah, it'd be great. We're going to have some other metal officers from the metal militia and talking about all things metal in the coming weeks. And what do you got in store for everybody out there who is interested?
What have I got? Well, I got a little trip to South America with the band, with Broken Social Scene, November, Argentina and Brazil. And then, work on some music, try and finish it, try and release it.
And let me be, I've never done this, and I'll do it on the mic.
Yeah.
I'm offering my services for the next solo album or the next Broken Social Scene album. If you need a, yeah, baby, oh, girl.
And let me do this on the mic. I'd like to offer you my services if you need someone to offer up a hacking cough.
Okay, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, that's it. That's a wrap.
Fucking hell.
Nice wrap.
This has been the worst
wrap ever.
Fucking
the longest wrap up of all time.
Let's just fucking stop.
No, hang on a second.
What?
Twitter.com/xflanzx.
Fuck off. Okay, I'm gonna fucking tweet it. I know. Bye.